Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By nature, man is gregarious. He doesn't want to be left alone. He wants to receive attention, and many a times he wants to give attention. From the very birth, then his parents are there to give attention, and as he progresses in age, then there are his siblings, he gets friends, and he makes life somewhat pleasant and exciting for himself. But again, there is an environment, the madrasa or the school, and there are people for him to mixing up and to socialize and to play. And then as he grows up in age, then again he's looking for attention, and then he gets into a marriage. And this whole life continues in this manner, that he wants some type of attention. Call it attention, call it association. And these are all gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's left to man how he uses the gift. Wealth is a gift, and then it's left to the man how he uses it, he abuses it, he misuses it, or he uses it correctly. It's left to him. The same applies to association. How you apply it, use it correctly, abuse it, use it in the right way, use it in the wrong way, how you use it. There are gifts. If you use it, then it will do much for you. And if you misuse it, then it can be a disaster, it can be a destruction. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayd is one of the philanthropists and the influential of Makkah Mukarramah. Extremely wealthy. In today's terms, you would have told him someone close to a trillionaire, not a millionaire. Very, very wealthy. And when his way, when he would return from his business trips, overseas trips, then he would call all the influential of Makkah Mukarramah, invite them to a feast, and seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the most influential, honest, righteous, upright, truthful, man of great values, so he was about the most influential in Makkah Mukarramah, so he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam flatly declined the invitation, saying something to the effect that both of us are not on the same page. You are going in a different direction, and I'm on a different direction altogether. So how can this feast go well when I'm moving in a different direction? My thinking, my ways are different. Your thinking and your ways are different. I'm calling about, I'm inviting towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and I'm talking about a life after death. And you are a polytheist, you are a mushrik, and you are saying there's no such a thing like a life after death. So we are poles apart in our thinking, in our ways, etc. So this won't go well. Just then he promised, he said, all right, then I accept your creed. I accept, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It wasn't long thereafter that the hierarchy of the Quraysh, they got to know that Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayd, he has accepted a new creed. Now that was too much for them to take on, because they felt that when he is such an influential person, then the public will go with him. So what's going to be left with us? When all the public are going on with him, and we are going on a different direction, so we'll have no recognition, we won't have the support, nor the type of respect that we enjoy and command in Makkah Mukarramah. So he insisted, no, you must, if you want to maintain the relationship, then you need to move away. Uqba says that, see, I just accepted because had Rasulullah Paksan not accepted my invitation, then it would have been a great embarrassment. So the one that was most influential in Makkah, he's turned down your invite. So it would have been a very great disgrace to my reputation. So I accepted the invite. No, I'm not prepared to hear any story until you go and reject him. And not only that, but na'uzubillah, you must spit on the face as well. So now in life you reach a crossroad. It's about you and the turn you wish to take is left to you. You can go on the right, you can go on the left. Adaynahu najdain. Allah Ta'ala has given you a choice in this life. He's not forced anybody. This is the right, this is the path to take. It's left to the individual. But understand that if you take the wrong, then you have to suffer the consequence. So Uqbah, the unfortunate, he went and did what he was commanded. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu says, that, see, when you are wretched and you show disrespect, make a mockery, show disrespect and ridicule a deeni elder for the, on the basis of deen, and you ridicule, you run the person down, then must understand there is something coming for you. There may be a short respite that you may enjoy, but after that there is something coming for you. Anyway, Ibn Mas'ud says that I saw these people here, Uqbah, Ubay ibn Khalf, Abu Jahl, all these people I saw them killed in Badr, and how their bodies were dragged into the well of Badr. So it must come with a consequence. On this occasion, these verses were revealed. وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ That the transgressor, the one that was wretched, when he appears on the day of Qiyamah, and he sees there's no way for him, no way for him. He's doomed for destruction. He can't get out of it. He can't give a compensation. He can't substitute. He can't use influence and contact to get out of this whole predicament. Then he'll realize what a terrible bargain he has struck. And then in that agony and that grief, it'll be unbearable. He'll be biting his fingers until he reaches up his hands. It'll be too much for him. He can't bear that. That what a bargain, what a stupid thing, what a miserable thing I went for the short little duration of some recognition, some wealth and some power. And what a great thing I've lost. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا And he'll be crying away saying, had I only taken the path of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today I will be in a bed of joy, of roses. And now what a miserable bargain I have struck. Short duration of respect or some recognition. Everything is gone. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan qalila. He'll be crying, had I not taken the path of this person here, he has led me astray. I have own right. And then he turned me away altogether. So, the ulama-i kiram explain the importance of the right company. The company is right, then inshallah, in time, the thinking goes right. And then when the thinking goes right, the behavior goes right. And when the behavior goes right, then you're on the right to Jannah. But if it is that the company and the association is not right, then first the thinking goes off, then the behavior goes off, then your ways go off, and then you have taken your ticket to Jahannam. So they warn you that it's left to you which path you take. But remember, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ عَذَابًا That if you're going to take this, then you must be prepared for the consequence to come as well. Therefore, Rasulullah Prophet has warned, that المرء على دين خليه فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. Normally, a person goes on the way of his friend, his clique, his friends, the circle that he joins. So he will take from them. He will take the cue from them. And how glaring it is! We see it in youngsters. If they are in a clique, they're in a crowd, and if one or few of them are smoking, then he wants to smoke as well. If some of them are vaping, then he wants to vape also, because he doesn't want to be an outcast. He doesn't want to be ostracized from the group. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the fountainhead of wisdom and sight. He had that sight and he had that wisdom that don't you befriend people just randomly. فَلْيَنْزُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Just look, just check out properly who is the person that's coming into the circle of your friendship. You don't just join up and mix up with people randomly. Today is one habit, tomorrow is another one, and third one, from smoking then to vape, then rock cocaine or cannabis, and then one thing to the other, and then one crime to the other crime, until then you see the person in prison. Now you are wondering that what led this child to this path here? What happened to this child? So you neglected the child when he was impressionable, mind was impressionable and fresh. That was the time that we shaped the mind correctly. But then we said to ourselves that he's too small, he'll come right on time, everything will work out. So we just took things for granted. Rather than giving this mind the right shape, we just neglected this huge human treasure. Wrong environment, wrong places, wrong people. They influenced the mind, his thinking went off. He began to doubt the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the way that he was schooled, right? And then when he rejected Allah ta'ala, then he rejected the hereafter. And then there was no goal. A person can work properly and consistently when there is a goal in life. Our goal, and every Muslim's goal, is the hereafter. That's where the life begins. But now there is no goal. There is no such a thing like life after death. There is no goal. Then what are you doing? You are walking, going around in circles, totally aimless. No goal. So there is no Allah Ta'ala, there is no Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no such a thing like the hereafter. Then what's going to happen to the, what's going to happen to this person here? So therefore the hadith is warned, right? That you don't even, لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقيا. We feed people for different reasons. Sometimes it is because of poverty and need. So their Islam is second to none. We'll encourage at the time of poverty, at the time of want and constraints, we'll feed. But now, as a special guest, who should you take as a special guest in your home? You just take on people randomly, or you be very selective in your approach. So the hadith says, وَلَا يَأْكُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيٌّ. That let it be a very righteous person that eats of your food. What's the reason that you don't take anybody and everybody as a special guest, as a guest of honor? Why don't you take anybody and everybody? So the reason is obvious, that when you're going to be treating the person as a special guest, you're going to be honoring him. And now he doesn't have proper dini values and scruples. When he doesn't have proper scruples and values, if he's misbehaving on your table, you won't have the heart to stop him and correct him. Now you're sitting there and he's watching, and you can see that he's watching the wrong stuff, the seed. But now you're at a crossroads. On one side he's my guest and then he's in my place, then how can I stop him? So you will begin to have a compromising and a relaxed attitude. So you'll say, no, it's not such a serious crime that he's committing. So you'll have a compromising and a relaxed attitude in dini matters. So then haram, halal will not be the criterion in your life any longer. They say, no, the more important thing is we need to have muhabbat and love. We don't need to go on a hate campaign, like how people say it nowadays. That we don't need to promote a hate campaign. But I ask you, if the child of yours is sitting around, sitting around people that are taking cannabis or taking something worse, will you stop the child or will you encourage the child? And if you stop the child and the son tells you that why are you promoting a hate campaign, are you going to accept his explanation? So, no, you just listen to me, just move away. These things here, it's not negotiable. We don't negotiate these type of things. So though it's a legal thing, cannabis, in most countries now it is a legal thing, in spite of it being legal, so no, you will listen to me, you will take the cue from me, and dare you touch this thing here, otherwise you see the door here. You will be very, very upset with the child if he's going to experiment in these type of things, right? Because you know, And you're not going to accept the explanation that you're promoting a hate campaign. No. It's for your own future, for your own future that I'm asking you not to do these type of things here. Because I've seen now what happens to people that go on that line. Now because of my vast experience and my seniority, I'm asking you not to do these things here. So if cannabis and these type of vaping, etc., is not a thing that is encouraged and acceptable, then is your deen so casual and light that we can meet up with anybody and everybody, every type of thinking, every type of scruples and behaviors got? Do we just meet up with such people? Just now, the values that we got and the values that we live for, that will be lost. Now, see the person, he enjoys music, right? He enjoys mixing with women freely. He said, alright, it's one of those things, it's a personal thing, I can't be taking him on, I can't condemn him for something that is personal, right? But then, when his habit is to mix around freely with women, etc., tomorrow he's talking freely with your wife or your daughter, right? And he wants to date. He said, no, it's alright, this country or the constitution is of democracy, and so long as it is something consensual, so we mustn't go against the constitution. Is that type of explanation and reasoning correct? Will anybody accept that? No. This is dangerous territory, forbidden territory. Don't ever come near this. See, now he's trying to flirt with your daughter, with your wife, or someone. Say, no. And if he gives the explanation that you're going on a hate campaign, say, no, no. Leave your hate campaign on your side. You practice it. But here in my life and my immediate family, I have my own scruples, my own values. If you want to, then you respect my values, otherwise move away. Don't you have that? Because you know it's a personal thing, it's your wife, it's your daughter, it's something personal, something very dear. And we don't want these children to be experimented, that people experiment with them. So we're so concerned about ourselves, reputation and respect. Then I ask you, whatever it's worth, then I ask you, deen, doesn't it have a respect? Doesn't it have a reputation? Doesn't it have something that we look upon, right? So if someone is jumping the lines in deeny matters, are we supposed to be continuing with that friendship? Or say, no, at this point, we must separate. Therefore, the hadith says that amongst those people that will be favored on the day of Qiyamah, there's no refuge, but the refuge that Allah gives. And there'll be exclusive people that will have an exclusive status of refuge, of happiness on that day, when there's no refuge. مَنْ تَحَابَّ لِلَّهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلِيهِ They love each other only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. They meet up like we have got here together, alhamdulillah, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Is it for any material gain that we have come here? And we come here for any material, you know, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So, but it doesn't end there. They get together for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and if they have to separate, if they have to move away, and it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this man doesn't respect deen. He doesn't respect deeni values. So when he doesn't respect deeni values, I'm bound to move away from him. So the meeting is based on the love of Allah ta'ala. And if there is a separation, then the separation is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this class will be a class that will be exclusive on the day of Qiyamah. When everybody will be sweating, sweltering heat, there's no refuge. There's no way to take any type of shelter. And these people will be a favorite class that I am privileged that I got this type of a security on this day that is so, so difficult. The man in agony and grief, on that day, he'll be biting off his finger right up until his hand. That there's no refuge. But this class of people that love and got together only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, no material gain. And if they moved away, it was only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala that I moved away from you. Habits are wrong, ways are wrong, your thinking is wrong, so I move away from you. So these people will be the people that Allah recognizes that I was the basis of your muhabbat and I was the base of your enmity and dislike. So why mustn't I give you and honor you a refuge when you respected my law and you respected my friendship? That's a good response.